Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Ah yes, that great old rhyme. It sure is a bunch of rubbish, isn't it? Just like a lot of dismissive advice that's given to young people. It just doesn't work in real life. I mean, just imagine what it would be like for us as adults.
Hello, what's your emergency?
Hi, I rang you before.
Ah, you again. I suppose you're going to tell me someone is threatening to rob your house again, so...
No, actually he's here now. And he's robbing me of everything he didn't take last week.
Well, sure, he obviously needs it more than you do.
What? You must be joking.
No, I mean, sure, he probably had a tough childhood. Have you even stopped to ask him how he was feeling?
What about my feelings? Your man just kicked down the door, pushed me aside, and started robbing me.
But did you even offer him a cup of tea?
What?
Come here to me. I want you to just go look him in the eye, shake his hand and calmly explain to him that when he robs your house, it hurts your feelings.
You can't be serious.
Ah, sure. He probably has low self-esteem. So you see, robbing you makes him feel better about himself.
But this is just not on.
You go on now. Bye, bye, bye. Bye, 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 bye.
You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. Thanks once again to Parables Productions for painting that mental picture for us. I'm Ronan Johnston, along with Stephen Carty and Ger Shanahan. This is episode 4 of our 5-part series, Freedom from Bullying. In our first episode, we looked at some of the statistics and we fleshed out the definition of bullying. In episode 2, we started to explore what's called the theatre of bullying, including the cyber world. Last time, we examined why bullying takes place, how to make a hard target, and the role of bystanders. And if you've missed any of our series so far, or you'd like to hear them again, you can find them at family.ie. Either listen to them online or download them for later, free of charge, at www.family.ie, and I'll give you that information again a bit later on. Today we're going to look at some of the short-term and long-term effects of bullying, the role of authority, and the ingredient that is essential in order to take action. So what are the effects of bullying? Well, outside of the few but extremely tragic extremes that have made the headlines recently, some might just think of it simply as a bloody nose or hurt feelings. But a study out of the UK indicates that the impact of bullying sometimes has a delayed reaction. Young people who are bullied in primary school are nearly 5 times more likely to self-harm later in adolescence. You can find the full article at family.ie. But to begin our discussion today, let's think about a few more of the effects of bullying. Stephen is joined by the founder member and director of the Anti-Bullying Centre at Trinity College Dublin, Professor Mona O'Moore. Also joining us again via Skype is Paul Coughlin, the founder of The Protectors.
So the impact on the target, the person who is being bullied psychologically, emotionally, in terms of how they see themselves, their sense of their own value, their own worth, is really depleted then by the repeated acts of intentional bullying.
It is, and we must keep in mind that it's intentional. We probably remember Phoebe Prince in South Hadley High School. She was an Irish immigrant, and she was horribly bullied. 6 of the bullies were brought up on both state and federal charges. One of them, by the way, is a repeat offender. He has been found here this year. Illegal breaking and entering and public drunkenness. He fits the perfect profile of a bully. A bully is far more likely to commit a felony right after graduation from high school than non-bullies. He is technically, today's schoolyard bully is tomorrow's prison population in many cases. Well, after Phoebe Prince took her own life there, one of those 6 kids on her Facebook page wrote "Mission Accomplished" on her memorial page. The fact is, there are people in this world who enjoy the pain and suffering of other people. And I just gave you the definition of sadism.
Tell me a little bit about the impact of bullying on the person who's targeted by the bully.
Well, of course, bullying will create stress. And with stress can come a lot of illness. There is generally an erosion of confidence and self-esteem. There's a fearfulness. There's an anxiety. It leads to insecurity.
For whatever reason, children think that eventually they are to blame when this sort of abuse comes their way. They think there is something wrong with them, as opposed to something fundamentally wrong with the bully and the people who don't intervene.
Because generally a child knows that they're being targeted, and that is for sure, but they're never sure when it's going to happen and where it's going to happen. And there, that is what creates that awful sense of insecurity, that fearfulness, which of course then plays on their concentration.
The Wesley Society of Australia followed the lives of serial targets into adulthood, wanted to find out what happened. 7 out of 10 had great difficulty forming lasting adult relationships. They specifically struggled with anger management, with resentment. And resentment is often the number one negative emotion that tethers people to drug and alcohol addiction.
So you will often see that children will start underperforming educationally. They certainly will be reluctant to go to school. They may even, when it gets serious, drop out of school. There will be mood changes. You know, they can become angry. They can become very withdrawn. They will, again, if there's no sort of intervention, they can slip then into a depressive state.
And a study out of London in February of 2013 showed that bullying can actually alter a child's DNA, especially the gene that regulates mood regulation.
There's thoughts of suicide, there's self-harming. And then we do know that some children, although rare, thank God, take that awful step and commit suicide because they feel there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's nobody there who they feel understands or can help them resolve it. It just shows how distressing and what a state of deep, deep despair that bullying can cause any individual. And the worst thing is that the child feels that they can't talk about it.
Unfortunately for some young people, that might not be just a feeling. Targets of bullying often do attempt to share with an authority, but many times they're just given dismissive comments. This is family.ie and episode 4 of our Freedom from Bullying radio series. We do need to take a quick break, but when we continue, let's talk more about what the authority in the theatre of bullying can do. We'll also think about the need for courage in both targets and bystanders. So stay tuned for that and more on today's programme. And like I mentioned earlier, you'll find more information about Freedom from Bullying at family.ie. Again, that's www.family.ie. If someone is being targeted by a bully, a common piece of advice is to tell an authority. But that doesn't always happen. Why?
Because they might be scared that they're going to get beat up more if they tell.
They'll be afraid of being called a rat or being bullied more because of the fact they told somebody.
Maybe because they threatened them.
Fear of reprisal is a big thing, you know. So like a child would feel like they would get in trouble for telling that they were being picked on.
Then they would just get beat up.
They might like tell them if they told somebody that they beat them up or something like that, like again. They might not like to look weak.
A threat from a bully that they might tell somebody creates a lot of fear.
Afraid that they'll do something to you.
They might say they might hit you back or something. They could kill you.
Fear? Intimidation? For many targets of bullying, telling tales mightn't seem like the best option at all. But if you're a coach, a teacher, a parent, or any other authority figure, what can you do to make a safe environment to help provide freedom from bullying? Welcome once again to family.ie. Before the break, Professor Mona O'Moore and Paul Coughlin described some of the negative effects of bullying. Studies show that the impact can be long-lasting and sometimes lead to tragic outcomes. As an authority, though, we have an obligation to be on the lookout for the telltale signs that bullying is taking place. We'll hear more from Joy Cantwell Moore and Isla Jeffers, the founders of Equip Ministry Ireland. But as Frank Peretti explained, for a target who feels all alone, even just one caring question from an authority figure can make a world of difference.
You know, all it took for me was the PE instructor. One day, he was a tough guy, big guy, had the whistle. We were all afraid of him. One day, I don't know what brought it on, but he looked at me and he said, "Are you okay? You feeling all right?" Well, I didn't answer him. I didn't know what to say to him. But all it took was one moment of tenderness from a teacher. And I went to study hall and I started writing him a letter. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, page after page after page of the years of things I had endured and never said a word about. Listen, folks, you can see a bruise, you can see a cut, you can see weird, erratic behavior, but a wounded spirit is not entirely visible all the time. And if the children in that school are wounded in spirit, it's going to be tough for you to find out unless you are open and gentle and ready to listen to them. They have a story to tell you. And they're dying for someone to listen, but they feel trapped because this is school. I have to be here. I have to be in this class. I have to be in this room. I have to sit next to so-and-so. They don't want to be branded as the coward or the chicken because they want to get out of an unpleasant situation. Be sensitive to it.
The worst thing a parent could do is to minimize, you know, the negative impact that was, oh, don't worry about that. And that's what a lot of dads do. And that's why the kids just shut up. Go on, get in there to school and just give as good as you get. Sure, I just went in there and gave them a kick in the shins and sorted it all out. But parents can give out so much advice that actually is counterproductive and mm-hmm. it just makes the child feel more inadequate. The parent doesn't even know what the opposition is. It could be five big lads there yes. ready to, you know, thump the daylights out of the child.
What I would see a lot working both with parents and young people at times is that the instant a parent hears their child may have been bullied, they go into explosion mode, basically, where they start to freak out, think, oh, my child is so at risk and, you know, anything could happen. This could have been going on for so long and I've got to take action. They march into the school or they take dire action, basically. And the child is in trauma because that is why children are afraid to tell their parent or a teacher, because they do not want to be standing out, basically, as the one who ratted, if you like, and the one who now everybody knows about what's been going on. And they're going to, I suppose, have it worse the next day.
Another thing that these parents can do, too, is studies show that many targets of bullying, they don't have many friends before the bullying takes place. And they often don't smile that much before the bullying takes place. For whatever reason, there are people in this world who pick on people who might appear to be a little more somber, if not gloomy. And we need to coach them to appear differently to their peers.
So there are coping strategies, of course, then that parents could sit with their child, that they could sort of practice, you know, witticisms and just, I suppose, sort of simple, almost like a first aid kit that they could give the child just to see, you know, is it possible for the child to sort it out themselves? The one you would try to find out exactly what's going on.
We need to help our children forge more friendships, at least one friend, ideally three. There's something about the number three that really seems to ward off bullies, because they're also bullying more in groups than they have.
If you get nowhere with a child, I would always recommend that you search out parents of the child's friends. Somebody knows something. And if you get nowhere there, because a friend, an adult friend, could ask their child.
Yes.
And that could draw it out. Mm-hmm. And then you'd also go to the school, and hopefully you're in a school where a teacher is willing to have their eyes opened. Mm-hmm. And then they could quietly sort of just see what's going on.
Because they're afraid that they'll be picked on even more than they were before.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so unless it's dealt with properly, that will happen. Yeah. And they're dead right, you know. So I suppose for parents out there and for the young people maybe out there as well listening, you know, you need to talk about it in a calm way and you need to get the whole picture and you need to track it. You need to give it some time and then make your next moves. So it's really a bad idea to have a knee-jerk reaction.
There's no need to suddenly sort of manhandle almost the perpetrator, but you can catch them in the act, so to speak, if you have some form of evidence that something is going on.
In many cases, a serial bully is a sadist and they intend to harm other people. It is not an accident. In many cases, they have planned their attack ahead of time, and they would do more of it if courageous, compassionate people didn't stand in the gap.
That's well said, isn't it? Courage and compassion? I think that's definitely the key to finding freedom from bullying. This is family.ie. Time for our final break now. When we continue, we'll think more about the importance of courage, not only for the target of bullying and for the authority, but for bystanders as well. If you have any questions or comments at any time for which you need a reply, feel free to email us radio@family.ie, or our text comment line is 086-251-6886. And again, that's 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. Stay with us as we further explore freedom from bullying on today's edition of family.ie. What would you say is the best way to deal with bullying?
Tell the person's parents, really?
I think the best way to deal with bullying is to expose it and kind of bring it out into the open and kind of get as many people knowing as possible, because hopefully that could kind of diffuse the situation.
The best way to deal with bullying is, one, of course, is bringing it to the attention of a parent or a karate instructor or your older brother or sister. Just tell someone.
The best way to deal with bullying is telling an adult or confronting them.
I'd say don't let them know that you're afraid of them.
Not just telling them something is to do something about it, okay? So as I teach karate kids there in the Douglas Karate Club, what I do is I teach them to use their mind more so than physical means. So if they appear more confident, they're less likely to be targeted by a bully. And karate gives confidence to children, especially when they're in a crowded situation, so they tend not to get bullied as much as other kids would.
Tell someone. I think the best way to deal with bullying is tell someone.
Welcome once again to today's edition of family.ie. As we talk about freedom from bullying, it seems there is a growing awareness of the need to report bullying. So far on today's programme, we've heard some of the tragic and oftentimes long-lasting effects of bullying. We've also touched on the role of authority figures, not to overreact, but to really listen, gather the facts and react calmly. Now, you may be listening thinking, sure, I'm confident that my child is not being bullied, nor are they a bully, and you might be right. Actually, the largest number of people fall into the third category, bystanders, and if they're not part of the solution, they may indeed be part of the problem. So this next ingredient is absolutely essential. It's something that authorities, targets of bullying, and bystanders will need in order to bring freedom from bullying together. It's called courage.
Studies show that not just targets, but bystanders don't want to go to school when bullying is present. They are often filled with a good amount of shame and regret later on. And studies show that when they don't help, their capacity for courage, sympathy, and empathy decrease in the future. These are strong psychological problems that take place.
So if somebody's around at the right time, then that intrusive, damaging intervention by a bully on a target doesn't happen either.
Mm-hmm.
So that being aware and being around in the area where there may be some risk, instead of being a passive bystander, being a courageous, engaged bystander or participant, being that older brother who is needed, can really help.
When I did the bullying research with the young people through the YMCA, only two of them had never been bullied. These would be kind of tough streetwise kids now, you know. They were disadvantaged, falling out of school early, knew how to protect themselves, and unanimously that's what they said: get your big brother to sort them out.
And you know, they don't need to do that. Let's say that what you are having, let's see what those kids saw, was someone roughly the same size and of social stature as themselves. It's amazing the power that they currently have, especially the power of two. Again, imagine if just two kids denounced that behavior. They don't need their older brother or sister in order to do it. They can do it themselves. They just need to be expected to do it, and they need the tools ahead of time before they see it. That's really the key.
That's really, I think, you know, where the future should lie, that we should work much more on educating, you know, our young people so that they can take that sort of active role.
I think for ourselves, we need to examine ourselves. We need to think, is there bullying going on in our home? You know, is there something we're not spotting ourselves? Have we been a bully? And actually examine ourselves about it first.
You need that sort of sense of responsibility and that sense of active discipline so that not only do we know, not only can we, but now we will do, you know, so it takes that doing part. Mm-hmm. And that is where I think we need, you know, to concentrate our minds and our intervention.
I suppose if you recognize that in a child, you have, because we're all great at, you know, standing up for our kids if they've been targets of bullying, but we're not so good maybe at looking out for the bully in our own kids. And that's a bit of a challenge to parents or in ourselves. Yeah.
Because each of us is well capable of bullying and we may call it something else. But you know what? We could just as well be bullying as much as anybody else.
Absolutely. I think a lot of us just maybe haven't seen it for what it is, because it's not nice to see a bully in yourself. And it's not nice to see a bully in your children, for that matter. Isla and I are both mums as well. And it's not something you'd be enjoying looking for.
Bullies are over 80% likely to stop if two people stand up to them, right? Well, imagine if three people do it. I mean, it's not going to continue. It's just not going to continue. Again, a bully is not looking for a fight. A bully is looking to overwhelm. And the sooner we can show that I will not be overwhelmed, the sooner they're just going to move on to another person, or just ideally drop that kind of behavior. But keep in mind, that is clearly out of the power of the target. They often want to change the bully. You do want to change the bully, and that change is leave me alone. That's the change. Them changing on a soul level, that's a whole nother issue.
And we sincerely believe that change is possible. This is family.ie, and this has been the fourth of our five-part series, Freedom from Bullying. For copies of this audio series and many others, free to listen to or download for later, we hope you'll head over to family.ie. There you'll find more resources to help you in your family and relationships, including 10 tips for getting out of debt, encouragement for single parents, and this week's marriage tip. You can also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. And you can find out more about our in-depth How to Drug-Proof Your Kids training course and information on how you and your community group can host an event in your area. We'd be honoured to help in any way we can. You'll also find some bonus material on our website. Hear the true story of Frank Peretti. Frank survived a terrible time of bullying as a young man, and he told his story at a Life on the Edge event for Focus on the Family.
And you know, I don't really cry too much about the fact that I still can't throw or catch a football. I want you to understand, your life is not defined as, you know, what you are right now. God has a purpose for your life. He made you the way you are for a reason. And don't worry, you're going to find out what it is. You're going to be okay. Sometimes you may feel like you are so inferior, but God's still working on you and He's got a plan for your life. And you'll make it.
Again, simply click on Hope Story on the page for this radio program, Freedom from Bullying. Again, that's at family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and with thanks to our contributors, Joy Cantwell-Moore, Paul Coughlin, Isla Jeffers, Anne-Marie Miles, Professor Mona O'Moore, and Frank Peretti, and on behalf of our own Stephen Carty and Ger Shanahan, we thank you for listening. Tune in next time as we conclude our series. We look at some more ways and means to stop bullying and overcoming the culture that rewards bullies. Until then, Slán Tamil. Thank you for listening to family.ie. Families strengthening families.